Hi, you're listening to another podcast from the Cloud Evangelist website. My name is Richard Moran. Today I'm joined by Stephen Hardy. Stephen is one of the lead developers on the Heat API project, which Red Hat and others are contributing back into the OpenStack project. Stephen, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, Richard. My name's Steve Hardy. I'm a software engineer working at Red Hat in the Cloud Business Unit. I'm primarily involved with OpenStack-related technology at the moment, and as you said, my main responsibility is working on the relatively newly created Heat project.
So do you want to tell us a bit about what Heat actually is?
Yeah, sure. So Heat is basically an orchestration project for OpenStack, and so it provides functionality which is quite similar, in many cases compatible with AWS CloudFormation. And so what that basically gives you is the ability to specify a cloud application, which could specify multiple resource types, which could be instances, load balancers, database services, storage, that kind of thing. And you can combine them and specify dependencies between them and configuration, that kind of thing, in a JSON template, which is 100%, or we're working towards 100% compatibility with the Amazon CloudFormation template format. So that effectively allows you to orchestrate deployment of, you know, quite complicated cloud applications without a whole lot of bespoke scripting around, you know, Nova API and that kind of thing.
So it's bringing some context maturity towards OpenStack with regards to Amazon. And I noticed as well, it's published under the ASL. Is there a reason why that is? Or
Basically, I'm trying to align with existing conventions for core OpenStack projects. So we've proposed incubation, an application for incubation, and that's being discussed at the moment. And so wherever possible, we've really tried to conform to existing code style conventions and licensing conventions in terms of the core OpenStack projects. We've also tried to leverage existing code in OpenStack Common, and really just trying to fit in and become a part of the OpenStack community rather than just leveraging what's there. Yeah.
And so you're going to have, I'm presuming it's going to be like sort of end-to-end complete integration with Common, Glance, Swift, Nova, Keystone, across the whole OpenStack gamut.
Yeah, so we've already got quite a long way towards accomplishing that. So we basically use JEOS images, which are stored in Glance, and we launch those using Nova. We have an S3 resource type, which basically uses Swift. We have a block storage resource type, which uses Nova Volume / Cinder. And so we're already providing a fairly easy way to glue together a lot of these existing OpenStack services / projects.
And how easy has it been to do all the integration with things like CloudWatch? Because that API it's not as well documented as it could be.
Well, we've got a basic CloudWatch functionality, which I've been working on myself recently. And we've got the CloudFormation, which is the orchestration API, is more or less feature complete with respect to the Amazon API. There's also an OpenStack-specific REST API, which is aiming to be, in a similar way to Nova, provides the EC2 API and also the OpenStack native API. It potentially could be a cleaner interface, and it's more aligned with actual existing OpenStack conventions. But the CloudWatch API, we've got a partial implementation, which is based on some work which was added in order to support HA and auto-scaling features of Heat. And so what that basically provides is metrics from within the instances. You have an agent on the instance which reports back to the Heat engine. And we have put a CloudWatch API on the front of that. So that's not fully implemented yet, but we're aiming to provide a much more complete CloudWatch API in due course. But there's some complexity in terms of the underlying infrastructure, which we're still working on.
And looking ahead at further releases, I noticed when I was looking through some of the release notes last night that hopefully, 18 months, a year's time, when it gets towards G release, some integration with Quantum as well, which I think is going to, really add some nice features and functionality.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that's probably our biggest gap in terms of parity with AWS resource types at the moment is the, you know, the VPC, the virtual networking components. And as you say, as soon as we get quantum integration underway, we should be able to close that gap. I think in many other areas, we've got, you know, quite good parity in terms of compatibility with Amazon resource types.
Well, you've already got the support for things like instance auto-scaling and high availability, et cetera, et cetera. So from a maturity perspective, you know, considering Heat API hasn't been around very long, you know, it's gone from zero to hero pretty quickly.
Well, I mean, there's some quite cool features. I mean, you've got the orchestration aspect where you've got a single template way of specifying potentially complicated cloud deployments. You can have nested templates, which basically allows you to break down the complexity rather than having one enormous template. Mm-hmm. You can have a number of smaller templates, which are effectively included as resources in a top-level template. And in addition to that, you've got auto-scaling, which allows you to specify a group of servers within certain limits that are scaled up and down based on CloudWatch metrics, which we collect from either the instances or, say, if you've got a load balancer resource and then you've got a number of web servers behind it, you can collect metrics from on the instances and the load balancer. And then HA, as you mentioned, we've got a couple of different flavors of HA which we support. One which is basically service level HA, where you can basically do a restart of a service up to a number of maximum times if it fails. So say your HTTP daemon fails, we'll mm-hmm. try and restart it. And if it fails three times, we'll rebuild the instance. And then the other type is a heartbeat-based instance HA, which can effectively allow you to do heartbeat-based stack or instance HA, where if you lose network communication with an instance, you basically rebuild it.
It's all pretty cool stuff. I mean, from a security perspective, it supports all things like the OpenStack security groups, etc. Or
So yeah, I think there is some limited support for yes, we do support security groups, and that's tied into we do support security groups. I'm not that familiar with the exact implementation of
it. I mean, the only reason I bring that up is with my security firewall head on. It's the fact that one of the cool things about AWS is the fact that, you know, it makes a security auditor earn his living in the respect that he has to prove what happened in the past rather than what's happening now. And it would be nice with, you know, the fact that we're working with the Red Hat preview release of the unsupported OpenStack based around Essex as we move through Fulsum. You know, it's just demonstrating some of the thought leadership and maturity that we're trying to help bring to the already, you know, erstwhile OpenStack community out there who are working so hard to get the next Fulsum release out the door.
Yes, I mean, we've had some discussions recently with the Keystone developers related to security concerns in terms of in-instance monitoring, which is obviously something we're already doing, and we're trying to improve the way we do that such that it's done more securely. And there's a whole collection of problems in terms of being able to have Keystone roles or identities which act on behalf of a user but not wanting to actually put the user credentials onto the instance. And so, you know, we're working on improving that and trying to engage with the Keystone developers in order to move towards a better solution for that in the longer term.
And all of this stuff developed in Python?
Everything's in Python.
Who'd have thunk it?
So yeah, I mean, as I said, we've really tried to conform with existing style convention language wherever possible,
right.
And you know, that's also made life easier for us in many cases because there's a whole load of good stuff within the OpenStack core projects that we've been able to reuse.
Right, it's just coming from I'm a sort of Perl guy, so you know, the Perl Python, the hackles get up when I start talking about Python. With any passion. Now, you're talking at the London Developer Day on the 1st of November at London South Bank University. Can you tell us what you're going to be talking about?
Yeah, that's right. So I think it's planned that I'm going to be giving an overview of OpenStack, and I'll basically be giving an introduction to the core projects and what they do and how it all ties together. And then I'll give an overview of the Heat project and how that combines the capabilities of the OpenStack core projects. Yeah. And then I'm going to be giving a demo of OpenStack and Heat and some of the cool features of Heat which it provides. If all goes to plan, I should also be providing a demonstration of OpenShift running on Heat, running on OpenStack. So that's the plan.
Brave man.
Yeah.
Brave man. I've been to some demos recently at VMworld and also at GigaOm where I'm sure it was recorded. I'm positive it was recorded. Can't prove it, positive it was recorded. Yeah, it's one of those things where I dread doing it. I stand on stage and I start to my instance and I just think, what's going to possibly go wrong? But don't worry, I've only got an audience of 700 people. Always fun.
You can guarantee it's going to work 100 times in a row, and the one time you need to demonstrate it, it won't work.
Well, I had to give I flew over to Portugal a few weeks ago to give a talk on open source and open source standards, and I was second on stage after Matt SA, you know, ex-Canonical, writes for the Register. And Matt and I went to university together, so he was my warm-up man, which I think he found rather amusing given the fact that he's Mr. Open Source. And he got the crowd really riled up, and I had my slides and my demo all queued up to go, and I got on stage and I had my clicker in my left hand. Well, the first slide came up and it said, "Hi, I'm Richard Morrell." And I turned the clicker off and I put it in my pocket. And I just didn't use the slides and didn't use the demo. And I just talked for 35 minutes because I thought, if it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong in front of the biggest audience I've had in 5 years. So let's just talk about open source and make them laugh and have some fun with them and talk about Red Hat and OpenStack and OpenShift and CloudForms and all the goodness and stuff. And they loved it. And no one knew that, you know, no one had a clue. But I was looking in the front row and there was the representative from Red Hat Iberia tearing his hair out because I hadn't used any of the slides or the demo. But never mind, you know, everyone in the room loved it and no one knew that I'd actually gone completely 90 degrees off tangent. So always have a backup plan. I didn't have one. No one seemed to notice. I think I got away with it. So unfortunately it's online. It's online as a YouTube video. So I'm hoping no one from Red Hat Marketing has actually seen it yet. And they don't listen to this podcast, so I can tell the whole world. Right, so everyone's looking forward to the London Developer Day. It's at London South Bank University. We do actually have some discount codes available for undergrads and postgrads from academic institutions and universities. I think it's like 8 or 10 quid or something, which is less than a round of drinks now. So you get a nice goodie bag with a t-shirt and you get to sit down with some of the movers and shakers from the OpenShift project, from the Gluster project. You get to meet John Mark Walker, you get to meet Stephen. So, you know, it's worth a day of your time. Unfortunately, I won't be there because I'm going to be on honeymoon, locked in a cottage in the West Country, but I'll be there in spirit.
So one last thing to mention is, if anyone's interested in trying the Heat project, the Heat API functionality, you can try it on a laptop. You can visit our website at heat-api.org. All the code's on GitHub at github.com/heat-api. And there's a script that will do a single node installation of OpenStack, and you should be able to try it out and hopefully evaluate the functionality pretty easily. If you need any help, come and see us in Hashheat on Freenode.
And also, if you need any help, there are actually context links into the OpenStack wiki, which tell you everything you need to know anyway. So if you can't find that, you shouldn't be using it. Steve, thanks very much for making the time today. Do appreciate it.
Thanks, Richard.
Cheers. We'll be right back.